would you pray with me? Father, would you send us your Holy Spirit? Would you fill us with your Holy Spirit? Will you pour out your Holy Spirit in this place so that the Word of God that you have given us might be open to us, that we might understand it in our minds, that we might have it planted within our hearts, and that we might live our lives through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. So there was a young boy, about 8 years old, and he was at the corner grocery store picking out a pretty large box of laundry detergent. And the grocer walked over to him and, trying to be friendly, asked the boy if he had a lot of laundry to do. "Oh no," said the boy, "I'm not going to do laundry. I'm going to wash my dog." And so the grocer, kind of looking kind of like you just laughed, a little befuddled, goes, "You shouldn't wash your dog with this. It's so powerful, your dog is going to get sick, and it might even kill him." But there was no stopping the boy. So he purchased this very large box of laundry detergent, even as the grocer continued to try to talk him out of it. About a week later, the boy was in the store to buy some candy, and the man, curious about what had happened with the dog and the laundry detergent, asked the boy how his dog was doing. "Oh," said the boy, "my dog is dead." And the grocer, trying not to be an "I told you so," said he was very sorry about the dog, but then, not being able to resist, added, "I tried to tell you not to use that detergent on him." "Well," the boy replied confidently, "it wasn't the detergent that killed him at all." And slightly surprised, the grocer asked, "Well, what was it then?" And the boy said, "I think it was the spin cycle." So we live in a world that has plenty of instructions and plenty of warnings, right? And sometimes, if I'm honest, well, maybe all the time, perhaps if we're honest, we might admit that we don't always follow the instructions or heed the warnings. And on occasions, there can be some potentially dire consequences. They might not usually be quite as catastrophic as putting your dog in the laundry machine and letting the spin cycle do its worst, but they can be significant. And in many areas of our lives, we're given instructions and we are faced with the decision about whether or not we are to follow them, right? We do this all the time. We often do it without thinking. And I think we come to this place today in our series on the book of Ephesians, a place where we are challenged to either do as instructed, do as God has designed, or not. And maybe we're going to be challenged this morning to think about, how do I listen to God? How am I obedient to God? And how does God help me to do what he asked me to do? We've been here for the last 6 weeks. If you've been in the book of Ephesians with us, we've explored Paul's letter to the church there in Ephesus in our series, Growing Together in Every Way into Christ. And he's given us foundations for the Christian life. We've had 5 verbs so far. Can you remember them? It's quiz time. We worked really, really hard on these. The first one, who knows it? Who said it? Blessed is right. That's right. We are blessed in every way with every spiritual blessing in Christ. The second, I'm not going to quiz you all the way through. The second, but I want you can repeat it in your mind. The first one is blessed. The second one is we've been united to God through Christ. We are united to him. Then we are rooted in him and his love. You see, these were Paul's foundations for what we need to understand about what God has done for us, that he has blessed us, and he has blessed us not with just a little bit, not just a little bit to tide us over, but he's blessed us with everything because he has united us to God, and he has rooted us in him. And then we turn the page, so to speak, into how we are to act. And God says, Paul writes, God says in his word, that he gave a group of people, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, to do what? Do you remember? To equip the saints. And who are the saints? Y'all are the saints. And what are y'all to be equipped to do? the work of ministry. You got it. You see, mouths moving. Well done. So the fourth one was God equips. And finally, last week, we were told to be renewed, renewing our mind, shaping our thinking, understanding God's word, the Bible. And then we pick up today where we left off last week. And he says to all believers, you can look right there in Ephesians 5:1, basically, be imitators of God. This is not our verb for the week. Imitate is not it. We're going to get to it in just a second. But Paul says, be imitators of God. And how does he instruct us to imitate God? He says, walk in love. That's verse 2. Walk in love. And how do we know what love is? Because walk as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering of sacrifice to God. See, we are to walk as Jesus walked. And Jesus showed us how to love others when he gave himself up to death, an offering and sacrifice to God for your sake, so that you may have forgiveness of your sins and be raised to new life in him. And when we put our faith in him and hope in him, he shows us how to love. And I want to ask you this question this morning. How do you imitate God? Do you imitate God? Are you particularly good at it? Do you struggle with it? Have you even thought about it? Because I think for most of us, we are somewhere towards the end of that passage, those questions. We've probably done it, but we don't give it a lot of thought. And we find two things in this passage this morning, that Paul is contrasting two things. He's telling us, he's giving us a list of imperatives, those things which we are to do. And he's going to contrast with those with the things that we might do otherwise. Ways in which you're tempted, and we're tempted as Christians, to live as the world lives. Here are some examples. So beginning in verse 3, Paul writes that sexual immorality, impurity, and covetousness, that is, wanting things that belong to someone else, these things have no place in the Christian community. You see, these were prevalent in the wider culture and the wider life in the town, in the region of Ephesus. You see, they existed, and these were the alternatives. Then in verse 4, we're told that the character of our Christian talk should be thanksgiving, not foolishness or filthiness. Then verse 5, we're going to be tempted from time to time to imitate these people rather than imitate God. And we're going to be tempted to be sexually immoral, impure, and we're going to be tempted to want what other people have. Now, out of those three, I think that sexual immorality is the taboo subject. I'm not going to talk about that at length, but that exists in the church as much as it exists in the culture. But the one that I think that is often most relevant to us, most easily known, is particularly in the suburbs of Charleston, South Carolina, is wanting what other people have. We live a life compared to other people. What can I have? What do they have? What should I fill my life with? And see, we're going to be tempted, Paul says, to do these things, to want what other people have. Basically, our lives won't look any different. And Paul's warning is that these people, those people that we're trying to emulate, we're trying to act like, that we want, that these people, sexually immoral, impure, coveting people, have no inheritance in the kingdom of heaven. And he asks this question, why would you want to let yourself be deceived with them, by them? Why would you want, knowing what Jesus has done for you, to go after those things when the promise for them is not an inheritance in the kingdom of God? God wants you to be in his kingdom. And Paul tells us in verse 15, for we should look carefully at how we walk. That is, how we live our life. See, it's vitally important to God that you become like him. See, he created you in his image. He created all of humanity in his image. And we have tarnished that with our sin. And we must see that the sanctifying work that God has made you holy, that he's redeemed you through Jesus Christ, and he desires that you remain holy in your day-to-day living. We need to recognize that this is what God wants. This is why Paul writes, imitate God, right? Be imitators of him. Shape your whole life through his thinking. And I ask you again, do you imitate God? Because I know, just like you know, when you're thinking right now, man, that's really hard business, right? It is tough to imitate God. It's tough on a number of fronts. First of all, we have to understand what God has said. What are God's characteristics? How has he loved us? What does he want for us? These are all important questions if we are to imitate God. But then also, we have all those temptations that are out in the world. And they're so subtle. They are so subtle that all of a sudden you could be chasing after something and thinking like, I don't want anything to do with it. And then you realize that your whole life is shaped after going after it. You see, it's a challenge. It's hard work to imitate God, particularly in the face of our own selfishness and our own desires and with the world telling us what we should really want. It says, the world says, go and get it. Sex, money, power, cars. I recently was at the car dealership. This lady is trying to sell me a new car, even though my car is not that old. And the one problem with my car is that all the door locks don't work on the clicker. And sometimes they'll unlock with the clicker and not lock back, which is really annoying. You have to reach in and lock the car door in the back. You get the picture? But she was trying to tell me, she put this really great deal. She called me up out of the blue and said, oh, you deserve this. And I said, you know what I do for a living. I don't deserve any of this. You see, I mean, I deserve cars that open with door locks. I mean, it's amazing in Lewis C.K. language. We have cars that drive hundreds of miles without stopping. I mean, that's a miracle. You see, we are taught that we should deserve this, and we really don't. And the reality is that many of us in the church are saved through Jesus Christ and are still living our life in a way of ungodly, in an ungodly way. And it's hard work, perhaps impossible work, for us to imitate God without God's help. And the good news this morning, and the good news for your Christian life, is that God wants to help you. He has helped you. And it is but ours to appropriate his help. And we get to this passage this morning. We look in this passage. If you look at verse 18 with me, he says this. Therefore, or it says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. Our word for this week is filled. Be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. That is what God says to you. And God enables you. And he wants to help you through the power of his Holy Spirit. You see, don't run after the things of the world. Don't yoke what God has freed you from. Don't yoke it again to yourself. Instead, what does he say? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. What God intends for you is that you would have an ongoing, overflowing, immeasurably great amount of his Holy Spirit living within you, enabling you to imitate him, enabling you to put aside the foolish and the filthy talk, enabling you to remain pure, enabling you to be content with what you have, enabling you to understand his will, enabling you to walk as children of the light, enabling you to be like him. Who wants to be like God? I want to be like God. Am I there yet? No. And what does he tell me? What is the instruction that is given to me in this passage? If I want to imitate God, what must happen? I must be what? Filled with the Holy Spirit. And you must be as well. And there's an interesting thing about this word in the Greek. Because Greek is not as simple language as English is. It sounds like if I were just to fill up my glass, right, that would be doing what God says, right? Be filled, if that were the Holy Spirit, I should have an example. Fill up glass full of water, Holy Spirit, right? Is that filled? No, in the Greek it means be filled ongoing. Continue to be filled. Be filled in the morning. Be filled in the afternoon. Be filled in the evening. Be filled when you don't know what you're supposed to do. Be filled when you are being tempted. Be filled when you're opening up the Word of God. Be filled when you're parenting your children. Be filled when you're caring for your parents. Be filled when you come to church, and be filled when you go home. This is it. Ongoing filling, infilling of the Holy Spirit. If you want to imitate God, if you want to follow him as he wants you to follow him, then you must be filled all the time. And God is not, and God has given you this so that you might. And I want to give you three ways as we finish this sermon this morning, three ways in which you can think about how the Holy Spirit works in our life. If you are a Christian, you have the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, living in you. Peter says in Acts 2, in response to people who are responding to the gospel saying, what should I do? Peter says, repent and be baptized for the forgiveness into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have faith in Jesus, if you have put your trust in him and believe in that he forgives your sins and have confessed them and turned away from them, then you have received the Holy Spirit. And baptism becomes a sign of a promise of that. And so the first thing is that if you are a Christian in this room, you have this Holy Spirit. The second thing, and if you're not, then you can trust in Jesus and receive God dwelling in you. So you must first appropriate by faith the promises of God. The second thing is that in Luke 11, Jesus himself, in talking about how good of a Father we have in heaven, says that he knows how to give really, really good gifts. He gives great gifts. He gives the best gifts. And he says that in Luke 11, that God will give us more, much more, when we ask of what? His Holy Spirit. That if you want the Holy Spirit, if you want much more than you really think you need, if you want an abundance of the Holy Spirit, if you want God out, just pouring out of you, all you have to do is ask. So one is we have it by faith, and then two, we're told to ask for more of it from God, and he will give it to us. And then third, we have this passage today where Paul tells us, God writes in his word, to be filled. That is not a passive activity. Brothers and sisters, much of the church, maybe you, have lived your faith far too passively. And you need to be actively engaged in asking God to fill you, to give you that which only can help you live as God intended, to follow him as he wants, to understand his word and understand his purposes. You see, Paul has taught these things. He's told you what are some of the characteristics of the Christian life. And then he says the only way you get this, the only way that you live and walk as you're supposed to, is to be filled. And that means ongoing, completely, constant. It means not just now on Sunday morning. It doesn't mean just in a life group, but it can mean in a life group. It doesn't just mean when you're at church or when you are in complete desperation. No, it means all the time. It means when you wake up. It means when you put your child to bed. It means when you go to work. It means when you have a tough meeting. It means when you are tempted beyond temptation. It means when you've had a fight with your spouse. It means all of these times we have to ask to be filled. And a couple weeks ago, if you remember, Jonathan made an opportunity for us to respond to the message on being equipped. And he said, if you'd like to be prayed for, first to receive Jesus in faith, and then or to be filled with the Holy Spirit, that he wanted you to come up to at communion and just raise your hand. Some of y'all remember that? And to be prayed for. And I want us to replicate that this morning. Not because we did it 2 weeks ago or because it didn't stick 2 weeks ago, but because God's word says to be filled ongoing. And we need, as God's people, to be the church that he wants, to be the people that he wants, to grow together in every way into Christ. We need it. And so I want you, as you come up for communion, if you want a prayer for the Holy Spirit, you can just raise your hand like this before receiving communion, and I'll pray a brief prayer over you. Or you can go back to the prayer ministries in that back, the prayer ministers in the back corner, and they'll pray for you to receive the filling of the Holy Spirit. And that's going to be our response this morning. But don't let it stop this morning. Do it every day. Chuck Swindoll, one of the great preachers of the church-wide, not of the Anglican Church, wrote this about his own prayer life. He said, in many days I began a prayer much like this, something similar. And I want to close with this prayer. And as we pray, I want you to just to appropriate his words for yourself and to think about it. So let us pray. This is your day, Lord. I want to be at your disposal. I have no idea what these next 24 hours will contain, but before I sip my first cup of coffee, and even before I get dressed, I want you to know that from this moment on, throughout this day, I'm yours, Lord. Help me to lean on you, to draw strength from you, to have you fill my mind and my thoughts, to take control of my senses, so that I am literally filled with your presence and empowered with your energy. I want to be your tool, your vessel today. I can't make it happen. So I'm saying, Lord, fill me with your spirit today. Amen.